So, guys, this is the last, I guess this is the last round of the muscle memory series, and then Lady Webb is going to transition to a fall festival style of series. Amen. And so this is the last one. So got a lot of content that I'm trying to get out in a short period of time. I'm in no rush, but I don't want to keep you guys here all day. Amen. And so in the spirit of this muscle memory, I'm going to ask you guys to do some sort of stretch because just some sort of stretch, your shoulders, your neck, or whatever to get you awake. Plus, it just makes you feel better. God's presence makes you feel better, but some sort of stretch, some sort of something. It's just everything. I see some of you guys are taking your neck and you're kind of doing this. Coach says, don't put any pressure. Just kind of just gently, just do it like this. And then the opposite hand and just pull it down and it works. And so how are you feeling doing this? All right. Everybody say muscle memory. So remember, I've been suggesting that we are athletes, or we should see ourselves as athletes. And today, I want you guys to assume this posture. I know it's dark, but this posture of this gentleman kicking a mic, he is basically taking the posture of defending something or contending. And so the muscle memory that I'm asking you guys to make sure that you have is contending and defending the faith. In other words, how quick-witted are you when somebody comes to you and throws darts at your faith? Look at somebody and say, are you quick-witted? Now, some of us, we're quick-witted as it relates to somebody say something to you on the sly and you can respond, you quick-witted. They say, you got big feet. You say, you got big nose. In other words, you quick-witted. So I know y'all quick-witted. There's two people in the balcony, one I live with. I know y'all quick-witted. Y'all think that she's very nice and sweet. I call her sweets. But the house, she almost makes me cry sometimes. You talking about humbling. Quick-witted. She has a way of humbling you. Anyway, so take that same skill and let's transfer this skill in the kingdom when folks are quick-witted, especially in a time like this with death, with calamity. People are going to be quick-witted and they're going to throw darts. Amen. Got a lot of explaining to do as Christians. We really don't have a lot of explaining to do, but we do have a lot of explaining to do. Look at somebody and say, let the Lord fight your battles. Okay, so in South Carolina, the hand of one is the hand of what? Hand of all. Just ask my nephew. There's no secret. I'm not trying to be sly. But just ask my nephew. If you're in the wrong car with somebody and they're doing something bad, who's going to get in trouble? All of you guys are going to get in trouble. Amen. Because you're present. You're present. You're present in the nonsense. You're present in the nonsense. The hand of one brought sin for all. This is the bottom line, by the way, as you're taking notes. The hand of one brought sin for all, but the sacrifice of one gave what? Flip it. Gave salvation for all. That's the bottom line today. Because the explanation for what's going on in the world in 2024, October 2024, the explanation or the fruit, we are the fruit of Genesis. We are the fruit of Genesis 3. We are the fruit of Genesis 3. Genesis 3. And I know we don't have it on the screen, but Genesis 3 is where Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They made a choice. Everybody say choice. Choice. They made a choice, and that choice is the reason why we have future floods. Or in Genesis, what they had to look forward to is future floods, disease, droughts, plagues, storms, sickness, and even evil. The fruit of that decision in Genesis 3 was future floods, droughts, plagues, sickness, storms, and evil. Because in Genesis 3, turn there real quick. If you want to turn there on your phone, if you want to just trust me, I do have it here. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, God told Adam and Eve, don't do it. Everybody say, don't do it. And guess what they did? They did it. God told them not to eat from a certain tree. And in Genesis 3, verse 17, God said to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Adam disobeyed God. Eve disobeyed God first, and then Adam listened to his wife. All right? Men, don't listen to your wives. I'm just kidding. Very, very much kidding. And have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat. Everybody say, not to eat. I commanded you not to eat from this tree, which is a choice. Okay, it's a decision. Cursed is the what? Cursed is the what? Cursed is the what? Cursed is the ground because of you. Because of who? Adam and Eve, the ground is cursed because of you. Everybody stomp on the ground. The last time I drove here on the ground, the ground is cursed. Amen? How does cursed ground behave? How does cursed ground behave? Of course, in Florida, California, you have what? Earthquakes. In Florida, it's known for what? Experiencing what? Hurricanes, tornadoes, and in other parts of the country, it's known for tsunamis. Amen? And so a cursed ground is going to behave like a what? A cursed ground. Is it going to behave? It ain't going to behave. It's because, everybody say, he did it? Who did it? Adam and Eve. So depending on who's on the other side of he did it, is how you will feel. In other words, he did it. Adam and Eve, he did it. You're the reason why we are experiencing this in the earth. Now, everybody say, he did it. He did it. If Jesus is on the other end of that statement, he is the reason why we are eventually going to be saved from all of this nonsense. Amen? Eventually, this won't even matter. The hand of one brought sin for all, but the sacrifice of one gave what? Salvation for all. The muscle memory that we need in a day like today is a muscle memory to be quick with it, to respond to unbelievers about what's going on around us. More and more attacks or darts, everybody say darts, are going to be about God being evil or unjust or unfair. We're going to be asked a bunch of questions in months and years to come. Now, the format today is going to be dart, then defense. Everybody say dart, then defense. So I'm going to basically lift a dart, and then I'm going to follow that with a defense. Amen? Are y'all okay with that? I want to try to finish this, but I'm okay if I don't. All right, I'm okay, God, if I don't. Okay? And the first dart is, I thought God was in control. I thought God was in control. This is not in my notes, but me and Lex was talking on the way here. Did y'all hear about the 7-year-old boy that was swept away by the flood? I want to say in Western North Carolina, and he was swept away by the flood. Raise your hand if you did not hear about that story. Okay, man, almost all of us. This 7-year-old boy, if I tell it right, I'll need 10 boxes of tissues. But not only did the 7-year-old boy was swept away by a flood, his mom survived, but also his grandparents was also swept away by the flood. And on his way out, departing earth, this little boy said, Jesus, help me. He said, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me, to be exact. And guess what happened? He died. He was swept away by the flood. He did not survive. So his mom has to bury her son and her parents. The dart is, I thought God was in control. Why did God allow a 7-year-old boy to be swept away by a flood? Who, before he died, asked Jesus to Help him. Where is your God? Write down your answer. How are you going to be quick with that? How are you going to be quick? Now, what do you got to say for yourself? Are you going to be quick with it, or are you just going to say, yeah, you're right? Or what are you going to say? Why won't a good God stop evil? Racism, floods, oppression, hurricanes, murder, rape, cancer, disrespectful child, gun violence, abortion, crazy candidates for president. Why are we left with this? Why are we in this? So everybody write down free will. Everybody write down free will. You are born looking like your daddy, but you die looking like your choices. You're born looking like your father, but you die looking like your choices. You are born looking like your father, but you die looking like your choices. What is free will? Choices independent from external forces. We are free. Adam and Eve was free. You are free. You are free to choose. You're free to get in that car. You're free to do your homework. You're free to obey your parents. You're free to come to church. You are free to click on whatever you want to click on social media. You are free to pay your bills. That's why you don't pay them. You are free to love. Everybody say you're free to love. You are free to hate. You're free. You're free to walk out right now. You can say, I'm good. You're not teaching right today. You're free to walk out. You are free to walk out of your job. You're free to quit. You're free to break up with your spouse. You're free to break up with your boyfriend. You're free to shoot somebody. You are free to build an entire city in a floodplain where the engineer said, if you build this city in this area, one day something bad is going to happen, like a hurricane, and an entire city could potentially be underwater. You are free. You're free to build your house on the coast where eventually something bad is going to happen, like a hurricane. You are free. Amen. You are free to marry a serial killer. Amen. You are free to be in a relationship with somebody that you know good and well 5 years, it's not going to get better. You are free. Don't blame it on God when you made the decision. Amen. 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 It's quiet up in this beautiful church. You did it. God didn't do it because of free will. Amen. Write this down. God is responsible for the fact of freedom. Humans are responsible for the act or their acts of freedom. God is responsible for the act of freedom, for the fact of freedom. Fact of freedom, God. Acts of freedom, us humans. We're free. Amen. You're free to do drugs. You're free to smoke. You're free to drink. Amen. God is not responsible for you being an addict. Amen. I'm really driving that thing home because y'all see where I'm going with this. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord made, read this with me because this is going to hit a certain way if you read it a certain way. Ready, set, go. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the what? Even the wicked for the day of trouble. Job, everybody should know the story of Job. Amen. Job lost what? Come on, everybody, just so I don't have to go back through this. Job lost what? Job lost everything. He lost his kids. He lost his job. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. And his wife. I told y'all not to listen to your wife. I'm trying not to say. I'm not trying. But Job, look at the Bible. The Bible says in Job 2:10. I'm just kidding. We're streaming. Oh, we're streaming. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm just kidding. Job 2:10, his wife said, you need to curse God and die. You see what God is doing to you? You see what God is allowing? It's too much. Job's wife said, curse God and die because he's responsible for you losing everything. You're such a man of faith. You believe in a God that will allow you to lose. We're losing everything. You need to depart from the person that is causing you to lose everything. Maybe if you distance yourself from the God that's responsible for this, maybe we will have some relief. She ain't thinking straight. Amen. She's popping a few. She's drinking a few and eating a lot of pork. She ain't talking straight. Job's wife, go to rehab. Now, that's not what the Bible says. Okay, that's. Job said, you are talking like a foolish wife, woman. And then what? Jesus. Shall we accept good from God and not what? Trouble. So Job is almost agreeing with her that trouble comes from who? God. Is he agreeing with her that trouble comes from God? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Dart number two. I think this is dart number two. See, God is evil because the Bible just said it in a couple of scriptures. God made everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Job said, should we only accept good from God and not trouble? So your God is full of trouble, trouble, trouble. Your God is full of trouble. So if you're with God, then you're signing up for trouble. If you're with Christ, you're signing up for trouble. So you think people want to be a Christian in a day like today if they know they are signing up for trouble? Absolutely not. God never promised man a trouble-free life. Uncle Jerry was just singing about going to heaven and God's presence, and eventually the lyric says something about when we go to heaven, we're gonna experience joy. It's gonna be pleasures forevermore. In the song, your presence is heaven. So that's basically the bottom line of that song. But who's ready to go to heaven? Or who's looking forward to going to heaven? I know, yeah, it was a little slow. I don't want to go to heaven right now. That means I got to die. You know you got to die to go to heaven. Amen. 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 But on earth, if I be transparent, I'll be honest, I really want to experience heaven on earth. Amen. I don't want to suffer. Can I be honest? Can I be transparent? I don't want to get a divorce. I don't want to bury my parents. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to have to get a CAT scan. I don't want to have arthritis. Can I be honest? I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to be killed for being a Christian. I don't want to be tortured for being a Christian. Amen? I don't want to be shot for reading the Bible. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling. Job 14:1 says, though a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of what? Full of trouble. I know it sounds like a doom and gloom, like, man, this is, bro, you got any good news today? I was feeling good in worship until you got up. Remember, I just said, you are free to what? You're free to leave. Don't leave, guys. Don't leave me. But why are we bothered by what's going on? Why does it mess with us? Why does it annoy us? Are you bothered by what's going on in the earth? Raise your hand. Raise two hands. Are you annoyed? Are you bothered? Is it really, really making you angry? So why are you bothered? How are you grounding your feelings? Where are you getting it from? How are you grounding your feelings? Where are you getting it from? Why are you, how do you know what's going on is really something bad or evil? How do you know what is going on in the earth is really bad or it's really evil? How do you know? How do you know? You have an answer? Y'all knew one day this paddle was going to make it into this church. If you know my story, if you're following, if you hear me talk about this good old paddle. No, I'm not addicted. Amen. Amen. I'm saying it for somebody in the balcony. I just like to move and be athletic, and I'm competitive, and I think I found my tribe, and I found my sport for an over 200-pound person. This is my sport, and it's called what? Oh, some of y'all don't know. It's not paddleball. It's pickleball. Everybody say pickleball. Okay, so I remember going to just a 20-second pickleball. You have a ball, you hit the ball over the net, boom, nothing fancy. Almost like tennis. I went to one court, and the culture of pickleball is when it's packed on the court, is to take your paddle and you place it in a slot. And you place it in a slot. So imagine four paddles in a slot. And basically, when you have four paddles, you can play doubles. Everybody say doubles. So I like doubles. Singles is just me and somebody else. Doubles is when it's two against two. So I'm looking to play doubles because I have to run less. This particular court in Greenville, I think it was South Side court, then they have the paddle stacking system. Paddle stacking system. At the court, but on the fence, they don't have any rules. There are no rules. There's another court in Greenville called Gower Park that has about 12 pickleball courts. They have a paddle stacking racks, and they have the rules posted for how to play pickleball on the public courts. Makes sense? But this particular court, it has the paddle stacking system, but the rules are not posted. So I'm going to this court. It's packed. When it's packed, you want it to be packed. You can get a lot of games in. You can get your reps up. Amen. Don't I look professional already? I just started. They don't like to see me coming. Is that black guy with the hat backwards? And when they try to teach me, amen, let me teach you how to hold a paddle. And I just I'm humble. And I said, okay, how do I hold it? Okay. And then when I smack it one time, they said, how long you been playing? I said, not long, about 2.5 months. Oh, that's okay. You must have played ping pong before. You must play ping pong a lot. No, I don't. What are you trying to say? In other words, that's pretty good for a beginner. Back on subject. This particular court has the paddle stacking system. But it is chaos. And so all of us pickleballers that know the system, we're upset because it's chaos on the court because we know about the paddle stacking system. Because what happens is after a court is open, the person comes off the court and say, court, we get our four paddles and we play with strangers. Okay? And so we've noticed that people were ball hogging the courts. And we waited longer than we were supposed to wait. And really after like 30 minutes, only two courts were following the paddle stacking system because of the kindness of their hearts. And they saw about 20 people on the sideline waiting to play. But we knew that we dare not could tell the people that were hogging the courts to leave because there were no what posted? There were no rules. With no rules, with no God, you cannot ground morality. It's a free fall. Make sense? Subjectivity versus objectivity. In other words, if I go to a court and say, hey, you need to leave. We've been waiting 2 hours. They're going to tell me what? What gives you the authority to tell me to leave? Because there are no what posted. There are no rules. But at Gower Park, you don't have that issue. Everybody's read the rules and they know how to behave. And so you stack your paddle and I sit down, 2 minutes court. Oh, that's my color. I go and I play and I wear them out. I'm playing today. I think I'm gonna play today, if she let me, about 5 o'clock. Amen. Subjectivity versus objectivity. In other words, subjectivity, it's basically, it's you're making up the rules. Objectivity is outside of us. Everybody say outside of us. How do we know something is off? Because God is the source of good morality. His word is the benchmark. His word is the rules. His word is the measuring stick. Disobeying and rejecting God's word is rejecting a roadmap. It's rejecting the rules. Rejecting God's recommendations, commands, and wisdom will set you up for failure all day long. Everybody say, God is good. How dare you tell me God is evil? How dare you tell me God is not good? How dare you insult the God that is responsible for my lifestyle? I take that personal. Amen. How many God has paid your bills? You gonna let somebody insult your God? God is not evil. God is always and will always be good. God is my king, and I'm just not going to let anybody, any government, any law, cause me to play it small pertaining to my faith, my God, and my beliefs. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because I'm more afraid of God than your rules. You take God away, none of us will be here, including you, who are making these rules that are anti-Christ and anti-God. I'm going to stay on God's side. Look at somebody say, stay on God's side. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Everybody say, there's no darkness in God at all. The Bible says at all, suggesting that God cannot be the author of evil. There is no deficiency with God. God can never learn. God can't learn anything. His nature is good. It's not just a Baptist thing when we say God is good and all the time God is what? No, God, that is content that we can use to explain what's going on. God is good, and the opposite of good is evil. God is holy. Write down Isaiah 6:3. Isaiah 6:3 says God is holy. It describes God as holy. Everybody say, God is holy. Everybody say, God is holy. God is powerful. He is holy. You've heard me say he's not just better than us. He is what? Come on, muscle memory. He's other than us. Yes, some of this you've heard before, but that's a part of muscle memory because we forget. We need to be ready to give an answer for the faith, for the hope that's in us, especially in a day like today. I know this is football season, and so player A catches the ball for an interception. Player B catches the ball for a touchdown. Which one is bad? Come on, talk to me. Player A catches the ball for interception. Player B catches the ball for a touchdown. Which action is bad? Shout it out. Which one is bad? Which one you don't want to see your team doing? Interception. Why is the interception bad? You just lost control? Why is the interception bad? How do we even know it's an interception? By the what? By the rules. You take away the rules, an interception could be something good. Make sense? If we have trouble obeying the Bible, the word from the true and living God, don't complain about an interception being wrong. In other words, if you don't like the rule book, then the interception will never be wrong. If you have trouble with the rule book, then somebody else can say, that's not an interception. They're actually scoring for the team that threw the interception. You could just make up something. Amen. Without the Bible, you can make up something. You can make up something. There's an inside over here. You're welcome to share later. Look at somebody and say, don't make it up. Don't make it up. I'm pretty creative, and they told me I was a bad kid. Last week I told you they called me funny looking. I was also a troublemaker. I will make up stuff. I fight the spirit of make it up. Make up your own rules. You tell me I can't go through this door, likely I'm going to try to go through with this door. Amen. But there are rules. Don't try that with God. Amen. There's something that you should just write down, and this is homework. I won't dig into this. There's something called natural evil and moral evil. Natural evil and moral evil. Write that down. Natural evil and moral evil. Of course, we know natural evil, hurricanes, tornadoes. It's called natural evil. And then moral evil is when people shoot, they kill, and they do things like that. Romans 1:28. Y'all okay? I think I'm getting close. Everybody say, God is good. Romans 1:28 says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Explanation for why people are wilding out. They are not acknowledging good. Why did he shoot? Why? There was a funeral. There was a huge funeral yesterday in Greenville that brought officials, pastors, young people, a lot, thousands of people together because this young man was shot. And why was he shot? And since they did not see fit to what? Acknowledge good. Acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what they want to do. They were filled with all manner of what? Unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of what? Inventors of what? Inventors of AI. Inventors of robots. Inventors of, you fill in the blanks. Interesting, right? Disobedient to parents, foolishness, faithless, heartless. It's just the list. It just seemed like the list just keep going on and on and on. All because of what? They did not see fit. It just wasn't their cup of tea to see fit to acknowledge God, to honor God. This is we have an honoring God problem in America, in the world. Guys, everything listed after not seeing fit to acknowledge God is going to continue to grow in America the more humans see fit not to honor God. It's coming. It's here. It's going to get worse. Buckle your seatbelts. Get a gun. Ah, we streaming. Get some protection. Get a CWP. Most importantly, get God. Amen. Because it's going down. Everybody say it's going down. It is going down because we know that honoring God is just not what's popular these days. If anything, it seems like things are shaping up to position the environment to not honor the God of the Bible. There's a difference, the God of the Bible. Amen? James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is what? It is sin for them. Dart number 3. I'm telling you, God is evil because God created all things. Evil is a thing, and God created evil. So you serve an evil God. What is your response? It's hard to wiggle out of this, but it's easy to get out of this. God created everything. Evil is a thing, so God created evil. And so if God created evil, God is not good. And if God is not good, he's responsible for evil. Therefore, I can reject him. I would dare not serve your God. Where the mic at? I'm gonna come around and ask, what's your response? Do we got a mic? What? I'm just threatening you. I mean, I'm giving you time. I'm coming to you. How are you gonna respond to this? I think I do want the mic. This is the last, this is it. Evil is not a thing on its own. You only identify evil when there's a lack of good or a privation of good. In other words, you have a car and you have the rust on the car. You take away the rust, you still have the what? You still have the car. You have a finger, you have a cut on a finger. You take away the cut and you still have the what? You take away the finger and you know you can never ever have what? You take away the car, you can never have what on the car? Rust. You take away the sun and you can never have what? A shadow. Make sense? So the less good there is in a situation, you start to notice evil. Immorality and the elevation of sin when there's less good in a situation. All right? Did y'all get that? How do you know a line is crooked? Because of what? Because of a straight line. Amen? How do you know something is unfair? Because you've seen fair before. How do you know something is unjust? Because you know what just is. How do you know that last week and the week before last that you really was in the dark? Because you know what light feels like or looks like. Amen. Perhaps you were not in the dark. Imagine sitting there in the dark saying, man, it's, ooh, look at this light. You're deceived, ma'am, sir. How do you know this is a what? How do you know this is a thumbs down? Because you know what a what?
Thumbs up.
Bottom line, God is the straight line that is going to put a stop to evil once and for all when we enter into our eternal rest or our eternal, I'm saying party loosely, but you do know the new heaven and the new earth, we're going to have a glorified body. It is not going to be boring. It is not going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It is going to be fun. It is going to be joyous. It is going to be glorious. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Eternal life. When it gets bad and it continues to get bad, get your t-shirt and put an E on it, which stands for what? Eternity. Think about eternity. Yes, we're on earth, but we're not going to be here forever. I started with this. The hand of one brought sin for all, but the sacrifice of one gave salvation for all. Adam, you did it. Jesus, you did it. Adam, you did it. Jesus, you did it. Amen. Romans 8:18, and I believe I'm finished, guys. I heard a great teacher say this, and I agree with him. We don't focus on the glory enough. We don't focus on E enough. We don't focus on eternity enough. Because if we did focus on the glory, this glory, then it's going to be hard to live at least week by week and have a bad week. Even if we're in pain, we're experiencing death, loss, debt, because it will justify what's going on earth. When you experience this glory, amen? This glory, if we focus on this glory enough, you're gonna be straight, you're gonna be Gucci. Somebody offend you, it's okay, amen? Because Romans 8:18 says, read it with me. For I consider that the 2024 sufferings The 2025 sufferings, the 2026, 2030, the 2040, the 2090. I won't even be here in 2090. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the what? That's just not a cute word that just there to just, it's just cute. This right here keeps morale high in my house. This should keep morale high on earth to be compared with the what?
Glory.
With the what?
Glory.
This should keep morale high in this should keep mental health straightened out. Straight. Make sense? This should keep your spirit high. The glory that what will be revealed to us. Next week we'll be in London, San Antonio, and play some good pickleball. I'm going somewhere with this in San Antonio. Eventually Egypt this year, Saudi Arabia, preferably Aruba. I am looking forward to these trips. You don't understand. Even when you're working a 9-to-5 and you got a vacation on the books schedule, it seems to make your 9-to-5 40-hour week just hits different when you know there's something on the calendar that you can enjoy in the future. You hear me? You can have a stressful job and know that you're going to Aruba next year and it'll get you through at least 6 months. Am I right about it?
Amen.
I don't know what it is. I know I'm not making this up. Listen to me. London next week, San Antonio playing some good pickleball while Lex is working. I'm the plus one. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Aruba before the year is out. I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
I'm walking different. You can call me a big head all you want to. I'm going to Aruba. You can talk about my mama. I may. Wait a minute.
I have to try you.
Wait a minute. But let me tell you something. How much more am I now going to live in this hotel called Earth because of what's on the schedule for me as a believer? I'm about to run to Greenville. What's on the schedule? What's on the calendar one day for me, Alpheus Bartholomew Anderson, as a born-again, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled believer, God-fearing, Bible-toting? This right here is going to have me walking differently for the rest of my days. Because the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the what? Not the trip to Saudi Arabia, to Aruba, not a cruise, not a trip to the beach, not a spa trip, but the what? Homework. Y'all dig into the glory. Invite his glory. Thank God for his glory. Ask God to reveal his. Let your will be done on earth as it is in. Let your glory be filled on earth. Can we feel your glory on earth as it is what? In heaven. Now, I'm walking different. No, I'm not arrogant. It's just the glory is in view. Amen? My knees hurt, but it's okay. Because what? The glory. Always getting on my nerves, but I'm responding different now because of what? It won't even matter. It won't even matter. You wrong me. Jesus, you wrong me twice. It don't even matter. You abuse me. It don't even matter. You hurt my family member. It don't even matter. Because of what? The glory. And God is going to, listen, justice will, if he's a just God, the root word of justice is what? Just. If he's a just God, it's all Gucci. It's okay. That's how I'm responding. This ends the muscle memory series, and I'm Alpheus Bartholomew Anderson, who loves the Lord with all of his heart, and he approves this message. Y'all clap your hands. It's political season, so I keep hearing that.